Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc in for Joe Donahue. Troy Foundry Theater's latest production, Antonio, or What I Would, is a new exploration of the queerness of the devoted pirate in Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. The piece was developed at the Play On Labs with Troy Foundry Theater in 2024, also known as last year, which feels like many years ago. Written by Brenna Geffers and Shane David Camaris and performed by Camaris, Antonio or What I Would features Jake Blau's music performed by Karner Armbruster and will have performances May 31st and June 1st at Universal Preservation Hall in Saratoga Springs, New York. Playwright and performer Shane David Camaris joins us now, along with Troy Foundry Theater's artistic director and co-founder David Girard. Thank you both for being here and coming in and speaking to me about this exciting new piece.
So excited to be here.
Thank you, Sarah. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Let me ask you, David, first, how does this piece come to Troy Foundry and how does it fit in with and speak to your goal for your programming?
Well, Shane actually pitched us on this piece based on a real experience that he had working as an actor playing Antonio in a production of Twelfth Night where he wasn't allowed... sadly, not allowed to explore the queerness in the character. And it just stayed with him. And as we were putting together the Play On Lab Festival and inviting people in to basically develop and workshop new work, this kind of fell right into our lap. And I knew that Brenna Geffers, who we've collaborated with Brenna and DieCast quite a bit over the years. I knew Brenna was going to actually be in town. Brenna was teaching at Union College that semester. So I thought, oh, what a great marriage. Shane has worked with Brenna quite successfully in the past. And so it just seemed like the perfect marriage. Also, the subject matter was right up Brenna's alley. So I kind of knew, like, this, I think this will work. I think this idea will work. Now, what came out of it is just not what I expected. It's so much fun. It's not educational theater. It's not lectury, but we get all this information about Antonio, queerness in Shakespeare's mythology. We get gay piracy. We get Antonio Prime, the original actor who played Antonio. It's a really, really fun, vibrant piece. And it's like 100 miles a minute. It's a really great piece of theater.
So the seeds of the idea begin with you, Shane.
They do.
Tell me how you found it and what... So expand on what David said, I guess, is
of course.
What I mean.
So like David said, I did work on a production of Twelfth Night that unfortunately I didn't get to really do what I normally would in a process where, you know, I came in with my research. I showed up and was ready to really dive in. I was so excited, like... Oh my God, I got cast as the queer character. I haven't really had an opportunity to dig deep into something like that in a while. This is going to be great. And then to like bring it up in rehearsal and have the director just kind of shut it down.
Say, play it straight.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, they were more like, I'm not really interested in exploring that. So let's, you know, if that's the truth you want to play, go ahead. And it just, so I threaded as much as I could into that production, but there was only so much you can do. And it just, like David said, it really sat with me. And
it really sat
time,
with him. Yeah, it sure really did. Bothered him. Yeah. And understandably. You know, right.
And around that time, I had just been brought on board to be an associate producer with the company and was like, with Troy Foundry. And I decided to pitch the idea. And it was a very different concept before I met up with Brenna. And like David said, I am very good friends with Brenna. I have always been enamored with her writing process. She really kind of planted the seeds for how I do a lot of my writing. So when I found out that when David mentioned she was going to be in the area around the time that I really wanted to get into the nitty-gritty of working on this piece, I was so on board. And I had actually seen her like a couple months before and had told her about it. So she was already aware that like this is something in my head that I wanted to put on paper. And I think she was very excited to find out that I wanted to bring her on board.
Sure. Can you zoom in for us more on what getting into the nitty-gritty of working on it looked like and what you found and what has made its way into the piece that you'll be presenting at UPH?
Sure. So when I started looking into what I wanted to do with the piece, like the original nugget of the idea was I was interested in what we hear that Antonio and Sebastian had spent 3 months together on their own before we meet them in Twelfth Night, and this is after the shipwreck and everything. So when I wanted to start working on this piece, I was interested in those 3 months. It was just going to be focused on the two of them.
You wanted to write a Twelfth Night prequel.
Uh-huh, exactly. And it was going to, the working title was Tony and Rod.
Yes, that's right.
Because Sebastian goes by the name Rodrigo when mm-hmm. he's with him.
Yes, he does.
And so that was where we were going to start. And then when Brenna was in the area starting her tenure at Union, we would meet once a week. And the way her process typically works is she gives you a prompt and usually like a time frame, and you just kind of start writing. And when we
started, what kind of time frame?
So usually like it can be anywhere from a minute all the way up to like a 20-minute prompt.
Okay. But it's not like go away for a week and
yeah,
come back.
Yeah, exactly. We sometimes you can do like homework, we call that. Where she does send you off to
just kidding. Homework is a very important part of this job as well.
It is a very important part of your job. But yeah, and then as we started working, we found through those prompts, like, okay, I think there's a lot more to this than just doing a fun little prequel, a fun love story. And there's still parts of that, that original seed throughout the piece, but it definitely became much more of, I love the way that Brenna describes it. She said that we're looking, if Antonio is a jewel, we're looking at him through the many different facets of that jewel.
Mm-hmm.
And that has helped me when it came through the writing process as well as how I perform it. So yeah, Antonio's a jewel and we're looking at him.
So
yeah,
you're playing the jewel, and it is a solo piece.
It is. Yep.
And what has that been like getting ready to put it up on its feet as a solo performer? Have you done a one person show before?
I actually have. I worked with Lake George Dinner Theater years back. Yeah. I think a few folks have heard of it. And I did a show called Buyer and Seller.
Yeah. That's such a funny show.
It's so much fun.
You were really great in that show.
Thank you.
It was a very good production.
What a beast of a show, though.
Oh, yeah.
I knew what I was signing up for. Like, okay, one guy playing like 20 different characters. That's right up my alley. That's my bread and butter. But an hour and a half of it, that was... So that was a challenge. But it gave me the toolbox that I needed when it came to working on Antonio. So it's like... coming home, just stepping in, especially at this point now that I've done Antonio a few times. I love getting the opportunity to brush it off and try it on again. And thankfully on this piece, I do have Jake or this time it'll be Connor. And I'm so excited to have Connor up there for the first time. It's going to be great to have him because they're like a confidant. They're my support.
The people playing the music on stage.
They are present during the piece. And I think personally, we're still working on the restaging because this is going to be a new world for us up at UPH. Lacing in, bringing the bard in a little bit more, bringing our musician into the world and being a little bit more present. But it feels great to just kind of, there's nothing between you and the audience when you're doing a one person piece. You are in it with them, and that is theater for me. It's my favorite way to perform.
The scripting is the language. Shakespearean, are we doing iambic pentameter, or is it a varied, assorted, different depending on the moment of the show?
It varied and assorted, I think, is the best way to put it. There isn't any strict iambic pentameter other than I do recite one of his sonnets mm-hmm. at one point. But other than that, no, like the closest to it is we talked about Antonio Prime, the first Antonio. But even he's got a lot to say. And some of it we may not agree with in this day and age. Oh. I know I don't, but sure. he's a character of his time. I'm playing a lot of different characters that provide different perspectives to Antonio's story.
The music, as we mentioned a moment ago, is by Jake Blau. It'll be performed by Connor Armbruster at UPH with you. When was music introduced into the piece? How did that become an important aspect of it?
So when we did the first developmental reading for the Play On Labs, you know, Brenna's always loved incorporating music into her work, and that absolutely spoke to me. And I have done musical theater all my life, so music is a very important part of who I am. And once we had the body of what we thought was the script, that's when we brought Jake in, which that was a gift in itself, too, because Jake had recently moved back to the area from Philly. So we connected with him, brought him in, we read through everything, and shared with him, like, this is what the piece is, do you have any ideas?
Yeah, and also Jake is an actor first. I mean, really, really, really talented musician, but, you know, he's really one of Philly's best actors.
Absolutely.
And so he kind of understands how underscoring can be an engine underneath the words that you're using. He's really great, yeah.
So we just kind of, Brenna had me read through things and had Jake kind of fiddle around a little bit. And funnily enough, a lot of what that fiddling around was ended up becoming what the music is. Jake was just, he really knew how to tap into that. And, you know, Brenna would float a, like a motif his way in her Brenna way that I love. And and he knew how to speak her language. Yeah. And yeah, it's really, really beautiful music.
Well, it sounds like a wonderfully supportive and collaborative experience, which is, you know, something we're wanting for in a lot of areas lately. So I'm very, very pleased to learn that this is happening. Of course, I'm not surprised that Troy Foundry Theater is providing such opportunities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Troy Foundry Theater opportunities, have you guys been at UPH before? Or is this the first time?
No, this is the first time, yeah. So to be able to have the opportunity to partner. I mean, we've always had such a great relationship with Capitol Repertory Theater. Obviously, Maggie Cahill and I are really, really good friends. And and Shane works there quite a bit, both as an actor and as a production stage manager. So the table was sort of already set for us.
Stage managers.
Yeah, I know, right? Unite!
They're so important.
Yeah, and so the stage was already, the table was already set for us to sort of develop a relationship. We sat down with Gene Leonard and pitched
another
Gene
excellent
on
person.
This, an amazing person, and pitched this idea. And we ran with it. And so, and I've, you know, with my time up in Saratoga with Saratoga Shakespeare Company, not, well, I won't say long ago, but, and watching that organization and that building, particularly that building, kind of grow and morph and become such a real kind of jewel of a venue in downtown Saratoga is kind of awesome. I hadn't been in the building, it had been a few years, so I didn't realize the amount of work that they had done on it. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so, so great.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a really nice, nice, nice space, yeah.
Antonio, or What I Would, will be in performance at the Troy Foundry Theater's Antonio, or What I Would, will be in performance May 31st and June 1st at Upstate. Oh my gosh, I'm totally stammering in a way that I almost never do. Universal Preservation Hall in Saratoga Springs, New York. As we just said, a beautiful space, and that is where the show will be in performance. What else does Troy Foundry Theater have coming up, David?
We are participating in the Craft Festival that is coming up in June, on June 15th. A piece that also came out of a development series that we do of a Half-Baked Festival, Homebody, which is a work that's developed by Emily Carroll, my executive director, and Rhea Malcolm, an associate artist, that explores how we recognize home, the relationship between home and the body, how we treat our bodies in our homes. We originally premiered a reading version of this at the Half-Baked Fest last fall, and this is going to be a little bit more of an extended version of that. So we're participating in that festival and really excited about that festival generally, just for our wonderful theatrical family here in the Capital Region. And then later this summer, we're going to be producing a new piece called Solo Feral Fest, One Person Apocalypses, which you and I discussed, actually.
You
Sarah,
did tell
I
me about
into.
This. I ran into you at the farmer's market.
It's a festival where solos aren't performances, they're exorcisms. And we're calling each sort of section where somebody will be performing a pop-up punishment box. And these will be like 10-minute solo pieces in dumpsters, coming out of garages, all in a specific alley space in Troy. And the way that it'll work is, like, when if you buy a ticket for this the piece, we probably do something like a pay what you will format, which is what we usually do. There will be a GPS coordinate that you receive on your phone, and probably some other small gift. And we'll also do something like Risk Roulette, where artists will draw like a weaponized prompt and give to an audience member, where they'll tell their worst grinder story or something like that. So we're going to try to include the audience pre-show, and then like somebody will open up a garage or come out of a window on the alley or whatever. And it's all going to address issues like food security, homelessness, the rise of authoritarianism, you know, everything that you might come across in a Troy Alley.
Mm-hmm. And what is the name of that one again?
That is called Solo Feral Fest, One Person Apocalypses.
Solo Feral Fest, One Person Apocalypses.
Very
Troy
Foundry. Sure
I can say that and not Universal Preservation Hall. What's going on? Antonio or What I Would, presented by Troy Foundry Theater, will be performed at Universal Preservation Hall in Saratoga Springs, New York on May 31st and June 1st. To learn more, you can visit troyfoundrytheater.com or at uph.org. Shane David Camaras and David Gerard, thank you for coming in and break a leg.
Thank you, Sarah. Always a pleasure. Mm-hmm.
Remember, you can keep WAMC on the air uninterrupted by pledging anytime at WAMC.org, each to their own ability, whatever you can swing. And we do, of course, adore our sustaining members as well. The website, WAMC.org, where this interview will also be posted along with links to more information about Antonio or What I Would. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.